Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Dip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome everybody to the bonus episode of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. All right, so as always, when we do these bonus episodes, we're going to bring somebody to you that maybe you don't know, or maybe you're going to be introduced to, or maybe you're going to find a little bit more about. Now, today's guest is Allison, and you've seen her before with me on the YouTube channel. Now, there's a reason we aren't doing this on YouTube, and it has primarily to do with the fact that to a certain extent we're shadow banned, and we want to make absolutely sure that we give the information she's going to provide today the widest reach, which right now is this podcast. So, as always, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com. Turn that simp into a pimp. Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Let's not forget about, as always, EMP Shield. Okay, do I need to really go into all the reasons why you might want to consider one of those these days? Well, if you want one, if you need one, $50 off with promo code PERMA. So, without further ado, we're going to bring on Allison, and I'm looking at her smiling face right now. Folks, if you want to see everything that's going on right now, of course, we got a YouTube channel, the Permaculture Pimp Cast. It's not exactly blown up to the extent that the other YouTube channel is, but you can also get a visual if you, I got to suspect that you're probably going to need one today. So with that said, Allison, thank you very much for being on with me. How you doing?
Doing good. Having a nice cool morning here today.
Good night. I'm not even sure, at least where I am, I don't even think we've had a summer. Now that is going to be much to the chagrin of all the people I know down south that haven't had either rain or cool weather. What do you think in terms of this weather right now? Is it unseasonably cool on your end?
It always feels hot in the greenhouse, so I kind of forget about what happens outside of the greenhouses. But we've had our share of hot days, I feel like. Definitely the peppers are kind of slow this year, though.
Yeah, it's been cool this morning. In fact, I needed a jacket, and we're still technically in the middle of summer. So, yeah, like me, I know you guys are running like a chicken with your head cut off. So before we get into the main topic of what we're going to discuss today, Allison, why don't you give people a little bit of background on yourself? I mean, where you come from, what you've done, and ultimately what brought you to the work you now do.
So everybody's story is long, but to make a long story short, I have a few engineering degrees, and I was killing myself working at factories, 60, 70 hours a week sometimes. And the opportunity came up for us to purchase a property, and we ended up finding this property here that just so happened to have the infrastructure for a nursery on it. So we kind of, my husband and I, we looked at each other and we said, I think we're about to start a nursery. And it was our passion, I guess you would say, for growing food and medicine that encouraged us to go in the direction of edible, medicinal, and native plants, or I like to think of them as practical or useful plants. Almost everything we carry has a purpose. So we decided to kind of steer the nursery in that direction. And, I cut out there for a minute. Can you see me still?
Yeah, you're fine. We're just going to have glitches from time to time.
Okay. It feels great not being in the factories, not contributing to what I feel like is part of the problem. And, just being out in nature and really helping people start their own gardens. We get a lot of new gardeners at the nursery. They don't know what they're doing. They really feel drawn to growing more of their food and medicine. And we get to help them with the plants that they need to make that happen.
Now, you've helped me also, and we'll come into that in a minute. First of all, why don't we tell everybody where what your nursery, the name of it, and where it's located, and I'll go ahead and give my end of things.
Sure, yeah. We named it the Farm Connection. It's an edible, medicinal, and native plant nursery, and we're in Marshall, North Carolina. Specifically, it's 2161 on Highway 213. We're just outside the town limits of Marshall, but it's an awesome little place to visit. And like I said a moment ago, just useful, practical plants is what we offer people. And we see our customer base growing every day.
And you should, because, and folks, this is why we did some of the videos we did earlier with Allison at the Farm Connection. I don't know if anybody's ever seen any of those, but if you haven't, you should check them out. We'll try to do more in the future. Here's what I'm getting at. I've purchased things from their nursery that I couldn't find anywhere else, not at any of the other nurseries nearby. And as a permaculture designer, I'm always looking for things that you're typically not going to find off the shelf at most nurseries. Now, at their place, I could not find false indigo anywhere around here. You guys were the only ones that had it. And there were varieties of trees like that Russian apple that I was looking for. And I can never pronounce that thing right. I'm sure you can.
Antonovka, yeah.
And yeah, I can never. I don't know why that word is so difficult for me. But in a permaculture world, I need apples that could potentially, A, be used as rootstock, A, that grow true to form, which that apple does. They had it. And I believe they still have it, and a number of others don't. So some of those nitrogen-fixing shrubs, trees, all the things that I've taught you before that you need in a permaculture orchard or even your food forest, they have it. They also had stuff at a time of year and were able to ship when everybody else didn't. So that's the beauty about working with a mom-and-pop kind of nursery where they have a variety of things. Like I said, I've checked every single nursery around here, even the ones that claim to be, exclusively native species and stuff like that. And yeah, they have some, but they have things a lot of times that aren't necessarily compatible with the kind of systems I want to put in. That's a combination of your nitrogen fixers and also your, what I'll call, productive trees. In addition to all that, Allison, and folks, if you haven't had a chance to go by, if you get a chance, please swing by there. Now, for a while there, you were shipping. Are you still doing that, or is that going to be on the shelf for a while?
Well, we're going to keep doing that in the spring with the bare root trees. Those are one of the easiest things to ship. Live plants are a little bit more complicated, but definitely we're ordering this year for expected growth and shipping for next spring. So we should have plenty of stock of fruit trees, native fruit producing trees, native nut trees, and false indigo. Actually, we completely sold out of last year, so we'll be ordering more of that this year as well. So yeah, we're gearing up for a big shipping season this spring.
See, that's what I really love about what you guys got going on there. And plus, honestly, folks, they're very, very receptive. If there's something you're looking for or you need a bulk order of some, there's so many people that have hit me up about trees and stuff lately. In fact, an email I just answered, I believe yesterday, regarding where to go to get this stuff. They have fantastic prices. They have good stock. In fact, like I said, everything I've purchased from them that I've used here was something I couldn't find down the road. I couldn't find it anywhere else. And also I found it at a price that was way more reasonable than anything else that was out there. In addition to all the other things you have going there, Allison, you've decided to add another layer to what it is you offer at the Farm Connection. Why don't you tell everybody what that is?
Yeah, I think one last note about the trees. If you do have anybody that is interested in placing large orders for trees, right now is the time to get in touch with me, because we can usually give a bulk discount, especially if we know we can add it on as we're ordering. So definitely if there's any large food forest projects, go ahead and find my email address on the website and go ahead and start a conversation so that we can make sure we get you what you want in the quantities and at the prices that you want.
Well, speaking of prices, yours, last time I got something from you, I think it was bare root, it was about a third the price of what other folks were charging. And that alone was extraordinary, especially at this time where everybody's a little bit pressed for money. But for all of you folks out there that are thinking, okay, do I want to invest? Yes, you do. Permaculture, preparedness, and practical living is what we talk about in this podcast. And I can't think of anything that fits all three more than a tree, especially one that could potentially feed you in maybe not now, but maybe a couple of years from now. And I got stuff that we're literally picking peaches right now. We are picking pears that, well, almost picking pears. They're not quite ready. Berries, you name it. Everything they've had out there, and a lot of it I purchased from them, not only to support a mom and pop business, but also somebody that has good stuff. And also, if you have any questions about the history of these things, Allison has been extraordinary at that sort of thing. As far as, you know, varieties and species that I wasn't acquainted with. And then just like that, I mean, she was Johnny on the spot, or Jane on the spot rather, getting me squared away as to what this thing does, because I don't know everything. But this is the beauty about going to somebody like this, is that you may not know what it is, and you may not even think that it fits within your system. But when you have a few discussions, you might find out that it does. Okay, so Allison, we were getting into the new project you have going, and folks, I'm really, really excited about this. I believe we've talked a while ago, and we were thinking, how can you be even a bigger blessing to the community out there? And you've come up with some pretty good ideas. What are those?
Yeah, we're really building out our workshops here on site. Part of sustainability, I think, is, you know, there's being sustainable as an individual or as you know, your own system. But what we want to try to do is bring more skills into the community and build our community's resilience. I feel like the more my neighbor knows how to do, especially if our skills complement each other, then our whole community is going to be stronger. And that is helpful for self-resilience as well. So we're trying to focus on bringing in workshop instructors who are skilled in homesteading skills. We're doing lots of natural dyeing. We're doing spoon carving, so some traditional skills, especially Southern Appalachian skills. And this kind of first season, going into the fall of our workshops, we're building the foundation for the workshops in the future. So we're building a covered shelter, and this is a one-day workshop. So you can come and learn how to build a shelter. It's just going to be four posts and a roof, but there's a lot there to learn about building in that one day with that one structure. And then under that, we'll be putting in what I'm considering the foundation of an outdoor kitchen, which is a large cob oven. And that's going to be a four-day workshop in October. And to me, the kitchen feels like home. You know, this is where you gather. This is where ultimately all of the things that we're growing, the food and the medicine, this is where we take it and we turn it into the nourishment for ourselves and for our families and community, and also into the medicine. So we're going to be building out this outdoor kitchen, starting with the shelter, moving to the cob oven. And I've kind of, I feel like I'm challenging the limits a little bit on how large. I want a large cob oven. I want to be able to put at least three pizzas in it, so people aren't sitting and waiting on pizza. But we're hoping to have some pizza nights coming out of it too. So yeah, from there, I think we'll, those are the things that are scheduled right now in that outdoor kitchen, but we're going to do some more natural building workshops, which I love natural building. And this area is really great for natural building. There's an abundance of the resources that are needed for building with cob, basically clay and sand and straw. And so, you know, we'll just be able to dig a hole and build an oven with what we find there. And I think that that's really cool. And that's a great skill to learn as well. So then from there, we'll continue building out that oven. And in future years, we're going to be able to use that outdoor kitchen to feed people for longer, more complex workshops and offer camping on site, and just continuing to evolve the skills that we're bringing to the community and, you know, the infrastructure here to continue hosting workshops.
Now, you got one coming up this weekend, I understand it. Now, and then subsequent weekends from now all the way until
I've got them scheduled out through mid-October at this point.
And I got to say that, you know, when I was looking at your price points, I thought they were relatively low. So, I mean, you're definitely making these things affordable and you're doing workshops. Honestly, I'll probably sign up for the Cobb workshop myself. Something I've always wanted to know how to do, but I don't I love what you said about being able to teach a community a bunch of skills, because I'm always trying to find new feathers to put under my hat. Well, Cobb is something I've always wanted to know about, and it sounds like you're being very smart about it too by having it covered.
yes.
Especially in this environment, because a lot of people have built a bunch of Cobb ovens and then wonder why they turn to mush because they put them outside. So I see you're starting with what's needed first and then following it back. And then, of course, that being something of a gathering area where you can do pretty much everything. So what are the other classes you have planned? I know you got the Cobb. I know you got the shelter. But it sounds like, I mean, what are some other things out there that might tickle the fancy of people that might be interested?
Yeah, this weekend in particular, we're having a tool sharpening workshop, which this morning I spent a lot of time looking at dull tool memes. So I'm going to put a blast out of, there's lots of funny memes about using dull tools and dull knives, but really a sharp knife is a safe knife. And we're not only going to be sharpening knives, we're going to look at chainsaws, we're going to look at hoes and shovels, because a dull garden tool, you just don't even realize the world that you're living in when you've got a dull tool versus the world you could be living in when it's sharp. So we're going to focus on garden tools. And this instructor, I'm really excited to learn from him, because not only are we going to be using stones and files, which are your typical sharpening instruments, he's going to bring an angle grinder and show us how to sharpen mower blades with an angle grinder. He's bringing a belt sander, and he's going to show us some techniques for sharpening with a belt sander. And then there were a couple other kind of, I would call them like homestead hacks on sharpening things that you might not even know about. So he's a really skilled instructor and a really fun guy. And I'm looking forward to personally getting all of my tools sharpened this weekend. And so, yeah, then after that, we've got the next one we have is flower hammering. Have you ever seen any flower hammering, Billy?
No.
It's really fun. You basically take a shirt or a piece of cloth and you lay the flower right on it. And then you can take a hammer and hammer the shape of that flower onto your cloth. And then you can peel that away and you've got it's a type of natural dyeing, but basically you've got the imprint of a flower on your piece of fabric. And there's a couple of really skilled flower hammering artists who have become really popular on Instagram. And so it's a beautiful art. And we have actually a really skilled natural dyer in town here. She lives just down the road, who is able to come and teach this technique to us. So this is our second flower hammering workshop that we'll be doing this summer. The first one, everybody had a really great time. The flowers are going to be kind of, they've peaked and they're on their way out at this point. So this is going to be the last flower hammering we're able to do this year. But I'm really looking forward to that one too. We can also use indigo leaves. Indigo is a really cool plant, the Japanese indigo. And you can hammer those right onto shirts as well. So I'm really looking forward to doing some more flower hammering. And then the first weekend, it's actually the second weekend of September, is our shelter workshop. So we're skipping Labor Day weekend. I don't have anything planned for Labor Day weekend. But then after that, we're doing a native plant meadow building workshop. So we've actually got a local expert up in Shelton Laurel. The name of his company is Wild Bud Natives. And he goes around teaching about building native meadows to extension agencies and other nonprofits and other government agencies, just teaching about how to build native meadows, and particularly about controlling the native species that are present in those places where we might want to plant natives. So especially in our area, miscanthus grass and honeysuckle and rose. He's also one of the only people that I know who knows what to do with the Japanese knotweed that grows up along the streams around here. So we're going to be talking about invasives control and also about building native meadows. And we're going to build a little native pollinator strip in the workshop. So we're going to talk about it some, but we're also going to plant. And so I love getting that practical hands-on experience in all of these workshops too. They all have a bit of getting in there and doing it yourself. It's not just lecturing, you might say. So native plants, something that we're really excited about. And we're bringing in, kind of as an aside, going back to what you were saying earlier about nitrogen fixers. Every time I find a nitrogen fixer, that's a native plant, I try to pull that in. So our selection of native nitrogen fixers is going to be bigger than ever this upcoming year, which is very exciting. We're doing spoon carving at the end of September. The cob oven is the first weekend in October. And we're also going to be having some other natural dyeing workshops that haven't got their dates scheduled yet. And I have one other really exciting one that I haven't put on the website yet, but it just came in 2 days ago. And these people have a mobile poultry processing unit. So it's a trailer with all of the equipment for processing poultry. And what they want to do is do a little demonstration and teach about how to process poultry and how to use the equipment in the morning. And then we're going to take a little lunch break. And in the afternoon, participants are going to be able to bring in 10 or fewer birds and have them processed, either participate in the processing if they're skilled or if they took the morning class, or just have their birds processed for them for a really reasonable fee. And I'm really excited about this one because processing is one of those things that is a critical community skill. And these people are just, you know, they have such an amazing resource that I'm excited to learn about and bring to the community.
Wow, that sounds pretty awesome. Man, I'd be careful. I did one of those one time back in Texas, man. People come rolling in with parakeets and all kinds of stuff. You don't know what kind of bird's about to roll in there. It could be a pterodactyl, ostrich, emu. You're like, hey, you said all birds. Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah, they just approached me. I think they saw that we wanted to take a community approach to the processing in our and the really the skills and equipment that's available. So one of their things is that they will come and teach you how to use it. And then once you've kind of proven that you can take care of it and know how to operate the equipment, you can actually rent it and they will come and drop it off at your property and do your own processing, and then they will come pick it up. So this is kind of the first that this particular mobile processing unit has been introduced to the community. And we're actually going to offer this 2 days this fall because we expect that there's going to be quite a bit of interest. But it's really great for people who only just have a handful of birds to process. You know, you can't take it. You don't want to rent the whole unit. You don't need that. But you also can't take it into the shop because you only have a few. So it's great small to mid-scale processing for the community.
Wow, that sounds pretty awesome. I mean, I'm hearing you talk about things that I definitely need drummed up on. Clearly, the dyeing, I don't really know much about that, especially natural dyeing, which I think is just fascinating. Even from a guy's perspective, I just think that is fascinating to know how to do. And then additionally, even the tool sharpening, I mean, I think I know the right way of doing it. Why not be out there and have an expert show me? And then also, it's also that community building thing on this thing where you're meeting, let's say you're new to this area and there's a lot of people that want to move to this area, or maybe you live a couple hours away and you're one of those people out there that is probably thinking you're an outlier, you're a weirdo. The only time you get any exposure to anybody else that thinks like you is maybe in the YouTube setting. Well, these classes are brilliant for a whole variety of reasons. Is not only are you bringing together some knowledge that you don't previously know, but you're also getting to meet other people that in your regular everyday, maybe it's a corporate world, maybe you're a blue collar sharecropper, whatever the case may be, you find yourself in the company of other people that are not going to think you're strange. In fact, people that you wish were your neighbor. That's what you usually find out in these courses. So Allison, I got to be honest with you. Probably going to be there at some point, probably sign up at some point. Just got so many irons in the fire right now. Right now, I'm not sure to what extent I'll be able, but honestly, a lot of what you're offering there are things that I've never done before. And I can see myself definitely going out there if I can swing the time. So speaking of which, if somebody wants to sign up, how do they go about doing that? How do they get a hold of you?
Now, registration is all through the website. The website address is the Farm Connection Madco, because we're in Madison County. So the farmconnectionmadco.com. And it's front page, front and center, the upcoming workshop schedule. And then you can click on the particular workshops, find the descriptions and a little bit more detail about the materials that are provided or what you need to bring, or if we're offering lunch, which we're offering lunch for a lot of these full day workshops. You can just go on and register on the website. And if there's any questions, you can call the number that's on Google or on the website, or send me an email. And we can answer all those questions and get you set up.
Folks, you definitely want to look into this, especially if you're going to be anywhere near Western North Carolina. Obviously, it's a beautiful place. You see my videos. So, and there are places, I mean, you're going to be blown away with all that's available. Not far. I mean, whether it's someplace to eat that's interesting or that's good, it's not, you don't have to go very far in any direction. And in some cases, as you said, they will provide lunch. Allison, as far as in the far out future, I mean, you have other workshops you're wanting to put together too. You've actually kind of halfway talked to me about whether or not you might consider wanting to do a larger animal processing workshop. And I understand you have larger animals out there that probably need processing.
Yeah, totally. The workshop schedule just keeps evolving. So what's available on the website right now is just what I've gotten all the details finalized on, but we're going to keep filling up all the way through the end of October into November and maybe even into December. And then we'll pick it back up in the spring when we reopen too. So we've got some sheep we want to process. We've got a lot of sheep, so we need to process some sheep. That would be awesome to do this fall.
Maybe I could help you out with that, and I'll just have to see what availability I have. But it doesn't hurt that you guys live in the next town over from me, so that makes things a lot easier. And I guess we'll see what's available. Is there anything else you want to leave folks with before we close? We got your website. We'll link everything down below, folks. If you want to find the Farm Connection, we'll link that in the show description, as always. You're going to be glad you know these folks. I'm not kidding around, y'all. All you folks out there, I'm going to reiterate this one more time. All you folks that are out there hitting me up, because one of the things you do not find at most nurseries is, well, nitrogen fixtures. I'll be honest with you. The things that I teach, the things that I want everybody and I think are crucial in your landscape, I think most places just simply don't have. And if they do, they want a king's ransom for it. So you're going to want to keep the Farm Connection. We'll let you know when they have some other things kicking. But when it comes to your bare roots, a lot of people are hitting me up about that. Those are always going to be the trees I recommend, because they're going to more easily adapt to your landscape than most things that are in a pot. Sometimes you don't have a choice. And these guys, you're going to want to keep their number handy. So for all of you folks out there, and there's a lot of you, keep them in mind. They will ship it when the time's right. And they're going to be, in fact, it's going to be one of those places where you can do a lot of where you don't have to hit five different nurseries. When we do a consultation for anybody, we got to send them off, depending on where that consultation is. A lot of times, William will send them off to 10 different people that are sometimes across the country, because there isn't a single nursery that has it all. You're going to find a lot of what you need in their stock. So be sure to keep them in mind. So yeah. Allison, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would just say, you know, add to that, we have what we have, and you've obviously been happy with our selection, but we view having those plants that you're talking about, the practical permaculture plants, having those in stock is part of our competitive advantage, because other places don't carry them. And so we will continue to lean into that and continue finding plants that we can offer here at the nursery, and other supplies like cover crop seeds, that you just can't find anywhere else. And that's, we're going to continue doing that. And you're going to continue to be pleased with what you find here for years to come.
Yeah. I want to have a couple of discussions on you of a couple of other things you might put in stock. Also, folks, even if you go inside their store, you're going to find things on the shelf there that I could not find anywhere else. I'm talking like fulvic acid, humic acid, good night. There's a whole constellation of things that they have. And this is a place where a lot of green thumb kind of people hang out. And these are crucial things that I'm looking for when I'm making a compost extract or a compost tea that you can't find on the shelf any other place around here. Ask me how I know, because I know. In fact, the last time I was in their store, I said, good night. You guys are the only ones that carry this stuff. So be sure to go check them out. You're going to be glad you did. They're very helpful. Allison is like a savant when it comes to a lot of the things on the shelf there. And she just kind of knows right off. I mean, she won't give herself that. She's entirely too modest. But she's definitely a whiz when it comes to all that stuff. So, folks, anybody who's interested, go check them out. Is there anything else you'd like to leave with the audience, Allison?
I think, you know, just we continue to see our customer base grow, and we really appreciate the support. This will be the end of our fourth year. And, you know, a lot of small businesses didn't make it through the turmoil of the past 4 years. And so we're just really appreciative for the community and for our customers and for the continued support to keep doing what we're doing and bring in all of these plants and skills to the community.
Wonderful. Well, folks, I highly encourage you to go check them out. Like I said, the prices are second to none, and they have great stuff, great help, everything. They are, that's the reason they're on this podcast. It's not because they reached out to me, and that never, almost never happens. I brought them on because I know that they will be a massive blessing to you. And another blessing, they'll be another thing you can really count on. Our tagline for this show is stay alert, stay alive. Well, having the right stock and having the right training is also a good way to get you on that way. We'll see you next time. They don't want an individual just to carve a copy. She's sitting at Manicotti. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison room full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. I'm a warrior. I will never.